from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The smoke is cleared in Santa Cruz, but there's no sense to be made about a gunman's choice to kill two police officers yesterday. Law enforcement from multiple jurisdictions launched an immediate manhunt and killed the suspect in less than an hour. Elizabeth Butler and Lauren Butch Baker were the first officers slain in the line of duty in the history of the Santa Cruz PD. Tomorrow is the deadline for friend of the court or amicus briefs to be filed in the U.S. Supreme Court case challenging California's ban on same-sex marriage. As the California Report Scott Schaefer explains, one last-minute brief opposing Proposition 8 has legal circles buzzing.
Amicus briefs are filed by parties not directly involved in a case in hopes of influencing the outcome. It's unclear how much sway they'll have on Supreme Court justices here in a high-profile issue like same-sex marriage. But Stanford law professor Jane Schachter thinks a brief by prominent Republicans, including Hewlett-Packard CEO Meg Whitman, in support of gay marriage could carry weight.
What this brief does is it says that a lot of people out there who used to support, you know, Meg Whitman supported Prop 8 in her gubernatorial campaign, who used to support it have rethought it and now see it as an issue of fundamental fairness.
Schachter says it reminds her of an influential brief filed a decade ago by retired military leaders in support of affirmative action.
Sometimes a brief like that from an unexpected source can reposition the way the justices look at an issue.
Gay rights groups are urging the Obama administration to file its own legal brief opposing Prop 8. But the case does not involve a federal law, and Chapman Law School professor John Eastman thinks the administration should stay out of it.
The president has claimed that this is an issue that ought to be left up to the states, and if he is intent on honoring that pledge, then he should allow the people of the state of California to have a different course than say, the people of Massachusetts.
UC Hastings law professor Rory Little understands the symbolism of the president supporting gay marriage in this case before the high court, but he thinks it might look too political, undermining the administration's credibility.
They have never been involved in the Perry case and the Proposition 8 case up to this point. So there would be some oddity, actually, for them to come in at this point and file.
The Supreme Court will hear the case next month. However it turns out, legal experts agree the repercussions could be felt for years to come. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
There's a daisy chain of people and firms involved in any real estate deal, and each link provides an opportunity for someone to lie for profit. It's called mortgage fraud, and while you might be inclined to pin the big blame on big banks, plenty of individuals are scamming the system too. Ed Girding of CoreLogic in Irvine has been watching mortgage fraud for years. He says short sale scams are particularly hot these days. In a short sale, a bank agrees to sell a house for less than the paper value of the mortgage. It's a boon to a hard-up homeowner or someone pretending to be hard-up.
Maybe they lost their job, or maybe they're underemployed, meaning that they had a really good job and then they had to take a job at a lesser pay grade. So they could potentially misrepresent the fact that they actually are distressed, right? So they might try to hide income or assets and those types of things to qualify for a short sale. The other thing that you can do is, you could be in collaboration with a real estate appraiser or somebody that's going to value that property. And basically what happens is they could actually undervalue that home and provide that information to the bank. So the bank thinks that it's worth a lesser value and they allow a short sale to occur. And then what happens is they sell it and then that individual takes that property and then immediately turns it over for a profit at a higher price.
Well, that brings us to our next hot scam, flopping. I've read about one case where the owner spread possum urine around the house, turned up the heat, and closed all the windows for a few days.
They also may take like ceiling fans and, copper piping, air conditioning units and those types of things, make the property appear distressed. And then once they get it appraised, they come back in and put all that stuff back in, clean it up, and then they've got a nice house to sell at a profit.
So my impression reading various news articles is that the FBI investigates mortgage fraud, the IRS investigates mortgage fraud, not so much state officials.
Behind the scenes, I think there is some collaboration, but it's really getting a little more exposure on the federal level.
Is that because California regulators they just don't have the budget and the manpower to do this, or they don't see it as their purview?
Well, I think that there certainly is some resource and financial constraints that play into that. Overall, The mortgage industry has seen about $13 billion in fraudulent U.S. mortgage originations per year, and that was the recent CoreLogic estimate. So it is a big problem, but compared to some of the insurance fraud or the Medicare and Medicaid fraud, it's a smaller number. So obviously resources are going to be aligned to some of the bigger fraud scenarios.
It seems like a lot of these federal investigations are really nibbling around the edges of what you describe as a $13 billion industry.
If you think about it, you're going to go after some of the bigger and the larger fraud schemes. So those fraud schemes that might be, a couple million dollars per situation rather than one that's $100,000. So they're really going to align their resources to some of the more bigger, larger fraud schemes. And so some of these smaller ones kind of go wayside.
A lot of people say we're past the worst of the housing bust. Is it your impression that we're past the worst of mortgage fraud, or has it not peaked yet?
Well, it peaks and then it troughs. Right now, mortgage originations are at some of the lower volumes than what we had seen back in the 05, 06, 07, and 08 time periods. I think you're going to see that the mortgage fraud has been relatively static over the last couple years.
But when you say that, mortgage fraud is static at a very high level.
It is. And the interesting thing is it always takes the path of least resistance. So, for example, a lot of the fraud over the last couple years had been in the origination. So that's really when somebody comes and applies for a loan and they're misrepresenting information. Some of that fraud moved from the origination side of the house over to what we call the servicing side of the house. So it migrates, and I always like to say it's kind of like that whack-a-mole. You hit it on the head and pop it down into that hole, and it's going to come back up into another hole, and you got to go after it there as well.
Is it your impression that federal investigators are more interested in prosecuting fraud that hits the banks or that hits individuals?
Obviously, some of the larger scams and schemes and some of the most noteworthy ones that you've seen recently in the media has probably been some of the high-dollar ones associated to banks. So
because they're fatter targets.
That's right. Follow the money, right? And so the lenders tend to have a little bigger wallet than the individual consumers do.
Ed Girding, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
That was Ed Girding, senior fraud and risk consultant for the data company CoreLogic in Irvine. That's the California Report for Wednesday, February 27th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as data storage, compression, and disaster recovery. Barracuda.com.